Heavenly Father, we come before you. We are just thankful that we have your Spirit, that we have your Word, that we have you, Jesus, to go to, and that your Word is alive and living. And Lord, you have something for us this morning. Speak right now through your Word. Speak deep into our hearts. Let each one in their own way get nourished and fed and be confronted and be challenged. Maybe look at some things from different angles, in different ways, that they might be able to be used by God in a greater way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The first passage that I would like to look to is in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And I've numbered it number one on the outline, and it's the ministry of kindness. You could also say the ministry of affection, the ministry of brotherly love, the ministry of giving, the ministry of putting others first. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another." Be kindly affectionate. That's a ministry. And I was challenged as I was meditating on this passage. I was challenged, am I that way? Am I kindly affectionate to one another? You know, so often we can be so busy about getting a task done that we almost run over somebody in the process to get the task done, and we miss out on really ministering. Ministering kindness. Ministering brotherly love. It could also be love with a generous affection, to cherish, to be devoted to. You know what I found out? That sometimes the people that are hardest for me to love or to show kindness to are those that are closest to me. Ever notice that? Some family members, for instance, mother-in-law, father-in-law, grandkids, cousins, mom, dad, brothers, sisters. We have an incredible ministry that God has called us all into, and that's the ministry of kindness. And as we are asking to be in the ministry, to be involved in the ministry, to be bearing fruit, it starts being kind to one another. Being that light to brothers and sisters, to family members in Christ. Not rationalizing the issue or excusing the issue. Being kind. And I would encourage you this morning, even with this, that maybe there's some family member, maybe there's some relative that you really haven't been kind to. And you have your excuses, you can list them. But I would encourage you, as I've been encouraged in the Word, to take a step and minister in kindness. It's easy to minister in kindness to those you like, those are like you, those that look up to you. But you know, it's another thing when somebody is different. Maybe you've had some hard times with them. That's the person that we can be a light to. That's the person that God would have us to show kindness to. As we continue, it says, to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Giving preference. Putting the other person first. Wow. Sounds like Jesus. He put down his life. How much more? And I think oftentimes we're missing out in the ministry on ministering to family and friends because we've made hard stands. We have an agenda. We have a purpose. And if we would seek to know what God would have, how we could put them first in areas that we might be able to minister God's love to them and that they might come to us for answers, that they might see the fruit of the Spirit being worked out in our lives. Giving preference. You know that the flesh, our old nature that we received from Adam, it's not very patient in putting others first. So just remember that what a neat ministry we can be involved in is putting others first. Seeing, genuinely have an idea of what their needs are and help them to grow in their needs and help them to come to Jesus. Help them to fulfill what God would have. The next point that I would like to look at in Romans is Romans 15:7, and I've entitled it Ministry of Hospitality. It's Romans chapter 15, verse 7. It says, "Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." If we look back up in the early part of the chapter, we're going to see that we ought to bear with one another's scruples, with the weak, and not to please ourselves. I found in the ministry, receiving others, taking others into the household, hospitality, letting others, accepting others, that's an important part of ministry. Jesus accepted each one of us where we are and how we are and in different ways. And I find that oftentimes I have expectations that God is showing me of what I expect and who I desire to minister to and who I don't desire to minister to. And God would want to take each one of us to a step beyond, to be more like Jesus, to minister to those who we may not easily desire to minister to, those who are weak. It was yesterday morning, it was Saturday morning, I had taken the kids to the beach. And there was a gentleman standing there, he had his backpack on. And I was challenged. I was sitting there with my two sons, and he was there, and he was sitting there. And I walked up to him, and one of my sons was there, and I said, "Do you know the Lord?" And he said, "Yeah." And we got to talk for a little bit. And it was a challenge to me to step out. His clothes were pretty dirty, pretty smelly. But the guy, he mentioned, he says, "Yeah, I'm hiking and backpacking along the beach, and kind of like the disciples did," he said. And he said he was doing good. And a friend of mine said, "Why don't you give him a..." Actually, another friend was with us, and "Why don't you give her the New Believer's Guide?" And I took out the New Believer's Guide, and I was able to give it to him. And he said, "You know, I'm going to read this." I thought, wow. Accepting others the way they are, receiving people into the house. I noticed another thing that often happens. You know, there's people hurting in the body of Christ all over, and they need help. They need places to stay. Missionaries coming into town. I find that what an incredible ministry it is if you have a room open, if you have an extra spot in your house, or if you have a place where someone could sleep. What a great ministry that is that we often miss out on, to have places to stay. I often see in the bulletins and make it known that, hey, we have a place for people to stay. It's very costly for a missionary to come into town, or for someone in their travels to come and stay a place. Open up your house. Accept the brother and sister in. Someone that's had a problem that went to U-Turn for Christ, or that went to Teen Challenge, or somebody that's given their life to the Lord, that is seeking to get rooted and grounded in the Lord. Seek to open your house up to allow that ministry to happen. It's not just about going overseas. I travel a lot. It's about just being available for Christ wherever you have and whatever God has given you. Also involved with that is... there's a real ministry need for those that are sick and those that are hurting. And it's not always easy to reach out to those people. But it's what God would do. It's what Jesus would do. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But as we want to walk in the Spirit, as we desire to glorify Jesus, as we desire to meet others, as we desire to be that light, that's what it takes. It takes stepping out in faith and greeting somebody, accepting somebody, receiving someone. And we can be challenged in that area. We like our comfort zone. We like our house to be our domain. We like our things to be ours and in control. And a lot of times walking in the Spirit, walking with Christ, is everything is His. And everything is available to everyone wherever they are. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Point number 3 on our outline. And it's the ministry of counseling. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Admonish here could be counsel. Also, it's kind of a warning, exhorting. This morning, I'm trying to exhort you. I've been exhorted in the Word. I've been encouraged in the Word. I've been counseled in the Word. God has given us all a ministry of counseling. God has given us all a ministry of pointing people to the wonderful counselor. It's not hard. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to have been to seminary. You don't have to have your master's degree. All of us here, we're filled with the knowledge of God. We're born again. We know the Word is alive, so we give them the Word. We make sure they're born again. The Spirit will lead and guide us. We point them to Jesus. It's simple. God would have us all available to do that. Take advantage of that, to counsel. In counseling, you're teaching from the Word. You could be exhorting, you could be reproving, you could be correcting. But you know what we're going to give them? We're going to give them the Word. People come to you with problems. Wow. The problems are overwhelming for us. But we know who to go to, just like we know what to do with our problems. We take them to Jesus, right? We can all do that, right? We can all point them to Jesus. We don't have to point them to the psychologist. We don't have to point them to the experts. We have one expert, one counselor. I'm so encouraged, as I've learned and want to encourage you, that, you know, when we point them to Jesus, when we point them to the Word, when we point them to the Lord, that's the only hope they have. We know that the only thing that really matters in this life is that they come to know Jesus. We know that. And we know the only hope for life in this world is to continually go to Jesus. I'm always reminded when I teach and exhort that I must always share with you that as someone is instructing you to do something, you have to know that you can't do it. Amen? You know who's got to do it? God through you. The Spirit through you. And the last thing I want to do is beat someone over the head. I want to let you know beforehand that when I'm exhorting you in these scriptures, they're to encourage you to agree with them, so you agree with the Word, but then to know you can't do it. And then what do? You take it to the Lord Jesus and ask Him to do that work through you. It's amazing how many people fall short because they think they can do it in their own strength. And we know that you can't do it in your own strength. That's why many have fallen away. Many have dropped off and got shipwrecked along the path. They've been told, do this and do that and do this. But they have been told, wait. Though I tell you to do that, you need to go to Jesus. He must be with you to do it. He must be doing it through you. You must understand that you can't do it in your own ability. It has to be the work of the Spirit through you. So as we're going through some of these ministries, if you bear witness, if you know the Lord wants to work, ask Him and say, Lord, help me in this area. I receive what's being said. I know a cousin I need to go to. I know a hurting person I need to go to. I know someone that really needs a place to get grounded and discipled. And Lord, if you want to use me, I'm available. But Lord, I'll tell you right now, I can't do it. It's got to be the grace of God. It's got to be God working through us. as we're encouraged to counsel, as we're encouraged to give a word to someone, as we're encouraged to warn, even this morning in the prayer we heard of a warning. The games people are getting into, the video games people are getting into, the things that people are getting into that may cause conflict for the Christian life. The enemy may be working in the midst of those things. We need to encourage one another. We need to take that time to communicate. Communicate the truth. The next point that's on our outline is the ministry of servanthood. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you Christians, for you brethren, have been called to liberty, to freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Through love, serve one another. As we're going through this study, you guys know the flesh and the spirit. In Galatians 5, it tells us the works of the flesh, and it gives us a list. And then the works of the spirit, right? The works of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You want to walk in the Spirit? You want to be used by God? This is what the Lord would have us to do, to walk in the Spirit. And here He tells us, through His Word, serve one another. Serve. I'm always amazed because people often say, well, I don't know what to do. All right. You can come to me. I'll tell you what to do. Just open up the Word and here it is. Serve. Servanthood. You know, there's all kinds of needs. Well, I don't really know anybody. You ever heard that? You know how you get to know somebody? You get involved. It's amazing. People get involved with all kinds of hobbies and they know all kinds of people. I'm amazed at how many people know all the TV shows and all the movie stars and all this. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why don't we know God's Word? Why aren't we serving at the body in which we attend church? Why aren't we involved in the one another ministries that God has listed and given to us? Wow. Kind of provoking, kind of thoughtful. God never said it was going to be easy. But it sure makes it easy when you know God's going to do it through you, when you step out in faith and make yourself available. Evidence of maturity in the Christian life can be seen by the fruit of one's life. It's not about all that you got done. It's the fruit that comes from a person's life. Making yourself available for the needs, for the things that God would want you to do. You hear, hey, there's a need for this, and there's a need for that, and a need for this. Are we people that at that time go, wow, Lord, would you want me? Man, I'm excited. There's some needs. How can I help? Right? Get involved. I notice sometimes you see certain people, they're so excited and they get involved and they get involved in everything. And then I notice other people, they don't get involved in anything. No, that's, you know, that's too hard. It's going to take time. I might have to meet people. I might have to be real. I was amazed because I was talking to someone the other day and it was a family and there's just hardships and everything and the summation of this situation was every single family member, most of them Christians I believe, they were afraid to talk to one another because they didn't want the people really to know that they had fallen short. They had put on a face. You know, I'm like this. You know, but really, life isn't like that. There's all kinds of problems. We're sinners saved by grace. Praise God for that. We can be real. We are going to have times of frustration. We are going to have times where things are hard. The best part is to let brothers and sisters know so they can pray for us, so they encourage us, so they can help us, just as we will be helping them. You know, there's amazing ministry that God has with us. Whatever way we deal with others, He deals with us that same way. It's amazing. It's amazing how that works. And I know the devil, you know what he wants to do? He wants to put you in isolation. He wants to make you feel like you're the only one that has these problems. You're the only one that has these troubles. When you get out and you serve, when you get out and you give, when you get out and you participate, you know what you do? You set yourself free. It's amazing how that works. Because naturally, I'm cheap. Naturally, I want to serve myself. Naturally, I don't want to help others. What's in it for me? But in God, we put that old man aside and we're available as God would lead, as God would empower, to help in whatever need there is. Ministry of servanthood. It's a neat ministry. I would encourage everyone to be involved. You know, I've been involved in kind of the ministry of servanthood as people have come to me, and I've seen over the years so much fruit abounding through that ministry. And they've come to me and they say, what should I do? And I always just pray with them and say, well, what do you like to do? You know, what are you gifted at? Go do that. And then they go and help in the children's ministry. They go and help at the prayer meeting. They go and help at, you know, the food ministry. They go and help at the retreat. They go and help at the outreach. They go on the mission trip. And they never are the same after that. They're never the same. It was, you know, getting rid of that selfishness, that old man, and getting out, and all of a sudden they're alive and they're vibrant and they're excited, and I see them years later. Yeah, I'm still in the children's ministry. Yeah, I'm still in the prison ministry. Yeah, I'm still doing this. I'm still doing that. And the greatest step that happened to them is they stepped into that field. They weren't qualified. They didn't know what they were doing. But you know what? They had Jesus and they were available. Praise the Lord, huh? I would encourage you, anyone here who God may be moving, make yourself available. Lots of opportunities. The next point is point number 5. It's one of my favorites. The ministry of burdens. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Says, bear one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Everyone has burdens. Don't you? I do. What a ministry. Wow. Who's going to deal with burdens? None of us can, but Jesus can, right? Sharing your troubles, your problems, and pointing them to Jesus. A burden here has the idea of heaviness, a weight, troubles, tensions, pressures from failures, pressures from finances, pressures from family issues, pressures from life. Wow. What an incredible ministry that is to come alongside someone, come alongside people that have burdens and point them to the one that can handle it and pray for the one that can do the work to do it. You know, it's so sad because I see a lot of Christians, they're shooting one another. They're gossiping about one another. They're being critical about one another. And here we're told, if a man or a woman is overtaken in a trespass, in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore that person in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest also you be tempted. You want to be free? Help others to be freed from their burdens. You know, as I'm working with somebody and I'm helping them to be freed from their burdens, how am I doing? I'm praying for them. I've got an ear to hear. I'm listening. I'm pointing them to Jesus. I'm letting the Word come alive. I'm asking the Holy Spirit, you know, Lord, here's a hurting person. You know, when I'm doing that, you know who's getting set free too? Me. Because the burden will come in, that tension, that financial stress, that thing will happen. You know what's sad? Is I've heard it just said recently, one of the pastors, he was studying for his message. And he kept yelling at his kids. Don't you understand? I have to study. Don't you understand? Wow. You know, I could relate with that. But I'm sure you guys have issues where you guys, you know, we're serving Jesus, but then you're yelling at your wife, or you're yelling at your husband, or you're yelling at your kids. It's like, wait a minute. Why don't you stop? Get right. That was in the flesh. That was in the old nature. Or, in this context, you're so burned, you're so stressed. You know, you're just, you've been there. You can't think. You know, what's the greatest thing you need? You need to take a moment. You need to get alone with Jesus. You need to cast your cares and burdens on Him. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your burdens and cares. Let Him know. Let a friend know that you love, that can pray for you too. Because maybe you can't even pray. You're so pressed down. You've got so many tensions. You're the only one. What's the enemy want to do? He wants to get you into a pity party. He wants to isolate you. Don't tell anybody. Tell Jesus. He'll rescue you. He'll help you in time of need. Doesn't matter what you've done. He'll be there. What a neat ministry to be a part of, helping people to cast their cares upon Jesus. It's amazing because we're all under pressures of life. And there's different seasons, different times where God is working in different ways. And He wants to teach us through that. And I'm very encouraged. You know what I'm really encouraged is somebody's under pressure. Is I can tell the maturity oftentimes by what do they do? When the pressures of life come upon you, what do you do? How does he act? All of a sudden, wham! You know, where do you go? What do you do? The mature person will go, you know what? Oh. He'll go and open his Bible. Man, Lord, I don't know what is going on, but I know that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, right? And God will always be there. God will always give us what we need. You know what it really is oftentimes? It's character building. These pressures, these tensions, these things are there. Why? Because you and me oftentimes, what do? We want to do it ourselves. We don't want Jesus to help us. We don't want to put our trust in Jesus. We want to have our bank account set up. We want to have our insurance set up. We want to have our job set up. We want to have our security set up. We want to have this set up. We want to be in control of our life. How many want to be in control of your life? I guarantee you, if you're trying to control your life, you're going to have lots of tensions and pressures. It's amazing. The more you try to control your life, the more pressures are there. And every time you think you got an area controlled, all of a sudden this one pops up. And what God is trying to do, He's trying to set you free. Hey, He's in control of your life. Your trust is that God loves us so much that, you know what? He's got to remove them idols. It's amazing to me because I remember I started getting my life together and I had this spot together and I had it all figured out. And all of a sudden it just exploded and I was like, what happened? And God showed me, I didn't want to trust in Him. I wanted to trust in the outward things that I could control. Sounds like a lifelong problem that all of us have that we need to come to Jesus. Amen. That's great. Praise the Lord. Point number 6 on our outline, ministry of patience. Oh, wow. That is really fun. We could also name it the ministry of trials. I was doing a devotion the other day and I was doing it on trials, and I prayed for everyone to have more trials. Some faces didn't look that happy when I prayed that prayer, but it was really for the best of them. In Ephesians 4:2, we're told, in lowliness and gentleness, in humility, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. If you're like me, this is one of my really weak spots. How many of you get frustrated when things don't happen when they're supposed to? Wow! What a ministry that is, to understand that everything's going to take longer than you think. And you know what? God's timing's perfect, and if you're not in tune, then you're in the flesh. Wow, that's a kind of a provoking thought, isn't it? You know why I get stressed so much? It's because my timing didn't match up with God's timing. God, it's supposed to happen at this time. What's wrong? Well, that was my time. You know what happens? God's time is right here. And how many times had I just rejoiced and just put it in God's hands that I could just rest in that time instead of being a stress case? How would you like to be encouraging those that are always under deadlines and they're always stressed out? Have you been there? Many of you may be there now. This deadline didn't come. And I'm involved in that. I'm involved in a ministry. And somehow I got designated as the coordinator of the punch list. And you know, 95% of the job gets done in 2 months. Another 5% take a year. Ever notice that? The little things. They take forever. And God has shown me that He's building character in me. That He's given me a joy in the midst of trials. That I'm submitting to His will. Though I set a plan, though I set a budget, though I have time frames. You know what? I expect not God to break my time frames. If I don't, I'm in the flesh. Ever notice that? You don't throw out your brains and you don't throw out your plans. You're still called to plan. You're still called to be good stewards. You're still called to save and be wise. But it's all in the grace of God. It's all being in tune with Him. But as I've matured in the Lord, I've looked for the hand of God to make adjustments and move, and I don't freak out anymore. Wow, okay, God, you want to extend that another month? Oh, praise the Lord. It may be hard, but you know what? It keeps me in the Spirit. God, Your timing is perfect. My timing may not be aligned with Him. Notice here also that it's done in lowliness and gentleness. It's done with a humble spirit. Again, we know that humbleness is a path that God uses to pour out His grace. Wherever we have pride, wherever we have our control issues, it's just an area that God's got to break us to bring us into a place of humility so that He can bestow His grace upon us. Point number 7, the ministry of forgiving. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Wow, I find this to be an area that is hard for a lot of Christians. And it seems that many Christians have a hard time forgiving people that are close to them that have let them down or did something wrong or something. And it's not to be in the body of Christ. It's not to be as a Christian. What a ministry it is for us to be in the ministry of forgiving one another. You know, sometimes I've stopped and I've looked and I said, who in my family am I not forgiving with? And immediately, what happens? You know, a couple of people pop up and, you know, I don't probably want to spend time around them. You might have a couple family members like that that you have. Or one is just seemingly very critical and judgmental. And, you know, I don't even like talking to that person, you know. But you know what? Every time I have, in God's love and God's grace and God's humility in a forgiving spirit, you know, God has used me. Even though I don't like it. You ever notice sometimes the greatest times God uses us is when there's a sacrifice on our behalf, when we're moving in an area that's not comfortable. And I've made it my desire, and a couple of these I haven't put into practice, and I'm reminded again right now as I'm sharing, that there's a couple family members that I need to step out even further by grace. I need to step out in faith. I need to be praying about. You know, when that critical spirit comes, it's a Christian. It's a critical, you know, that I would take it to prayer. That I would give an encouraging word. That I wouldn't hear gossip. That I would take it to prayer. There's something I've been practicing. You know, there's a lot of ways that people want to deal with gossip. And, you know, Christians, man, it's so sad that people want to talk about others in a bad light. And I've been practicing this. And, you know, everybody can have their own ways. But as soon as somebody starts to gossip about somebody, what I've been doing is I've been taking a moment right then. Do you mind if we could pray for that person? And then I pray, and it changes the whole experience, because it's like, do you hear about so-and-so? And if it gets into my ears, even though I don't want to hear it, I've already judged that person sometimes. You know, and then I find out later none of it's true or it's all exaggerated, but I've already copped an attitude by hearing it. And I've tried to take it captive right away. I've tried to encourage the person right then. So whatever the issue is, take it to prayer. I found that people that I don't like and people that rub me the wrong ways, as soon as I take it to prayer, my heart gets changed. And God has an opportunity to do a work, a fresh work. Praise the Lord for that. God doesn't give any room for any of us to not forgive. There's no room for that. There's many scriptures that declare that if you don't forgive them, God isn't going to forgive you. Guess what? What's he saying? You can't pick and choose. Yeah, I want forgiveness for all the bad things I've done and all the horrible things I've done. But you know what? I'm not going to forgive her. And I'm not going to forgive him. You can't have it here and not give it out over here. But we do it. I do it. Man. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we make up a plan. Well, if they get on their knees and they really, 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 really mean it, and they do this and 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 this. You been there? I've done that. That's not what God says. That's not how we go to God. I know that I haven't asked him personally to forgive all my sins. And there are many. I thank you that the blood of Christ does forgive us of all sins, past, present, and future. But he calls us to go to him, 1 John 1:9, confess our sins. Be neat if all of a sudden someone said to you, because they come to me all the time and they want to be more involved in the ministry, they want to be working for the church, they want to be doing this, and I love to encourage them. Are you involved in the ministry of forgiving others? That's a great ministry. Yeah. Are you involved in the ministry of patience? Hey, are you involved in the ministry of burdens? I mean, wow. Everybody needs these things all the time. There's always somebody sinning against us. There's always somebody falling short. What really is the ministry? Point number 8 on our outline is... Well, wait, I want to make one more point on this. Forgiving one another is to not hold things against one another, to give up resentment, forgive an insult, to grant relief or payment, to cease to feel resentment from an offender, to pardon, to forgive, to forget. Forgive and forget. Wow. I like that. That's what the Lord did to me and to you. Remember them no more, right? Psalm 103. Praise the Lord. What a great ministry to begin it, to be involved in forgetting sins that others have caused against you. And you're going to forgive and forget. You're going to remember them no more. And you're going to just love on them and you're going to point them to Jesus. Wow, that would be a light. Do you remember what Jesus did? What did he do when he met with sinners? What did he do when he met with the adulteress? Go, sin no more. Whoever can throw the first stone, throw the first stone. Whoever's without sin, judge. They all left. There was no one, and Jesus didn't condemn her. But what did he say? I love you. God loves you. Go, sin no more. Forgiving. Point number 8. Ministry of comfort. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. I'm sure you guys are involved in all these ministries. I'm just throwing out a challenge here to maybe have you take a step of faith in one of these areas where God may be speaking to you. Ministry of comfort. To give strength and hope. To cheer on. To ease the grief or trouble. To console. We know there's only one person that can actually do that. And he's the comforter. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our tribulation. Comforts us all. That's me and you. And that's everyone else. That we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. What a great ministry. Who wants to be involved in the ministry of comfort? Wow. Here we are right here. That they may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Wow. To be able to set somebody towards a hope, towards a future, to be able to come alongside somebody and be their strength on behalf of the Lord, to ease a trouble, a grief. Somebody I work with in the ministry just went to be with the Lord last week, and I went out to the memorial. And just to be there and with the family members, she said that the wife said that, you know, one of the greatest things is to see you here, to know that you loved us and that you're here on behalf of my husband. Just this great man of God that went to be with the Lord. And we're able to pray with her. We're able to be there for her. People did all sorts of things to help, to ease the grief, to ease the pain, to be there. Overwhelmingly, the Christians came out and came alongside. It's a hard time. Though in one aspect, she's rejoicing because he's walking on streets of gold. And we know that God said, good and faithful servant, come, right? It's your time. It's God's time. It's the perfect time. But at the same time, in our flesh, it's hard. And there's going to be some crying. There's going to be some grief. And everybody deals with it different. And when she cries, we cried. And then she's happy. He's walking on streets of gold, right? Praise the Lord, you know? And we got to see the life of this man as they shared. It was incredible. It was touching. It was like, wow. What a great ministry to be used by God in the ministry of comfort. You know, you see a person that's hurting. You see somebody on the side. You know, I'm challenged in a new way in the last year. And it seemed like I was that way one time, and then I got a little bit more, well, that homeless person deserves to be homeless. Or, you know, that person, you know. Now, I'm looking out. I'm asking God. I'm being challenged. How could I see that person. I see that hurting person. I see that sick person. I hear that person in the hospital. I hear that person. I'm challenged. Can I go visit that person? Yeah, I got nothing to offer. But here's what God says. That we may be able to comfort those. That we, everyone in here. We've all been gifted in different ways. God has touched us all in different ways. We all know Jesus. We all know that we've been in an instance where we needed help, and guess who helped us? God Himself. And we know what everybody needs. And sometimes they just need a friend to come alongside and put their arms around that person. To say a prayer with that person. Maybe to walk them to the car. Maybe to take out their trash. Maybe to help them with getting insurance. Maybe to take care of some of the things that have to happen at that time. It's hard. But you know, we can be there. And you know, that's where ministry's happening. Yes, praise God. We go to Africa, we go to India, we go to South America, we go to China, we go to Japan, wherever we go. Praise God for all that ministry. But you know, there's ministry right here, right now at home. As I'm ministering, as your ministry, you know, the ministry really starts with time with Jesus. It's a Jesus getting him and it coming into us, and it's from above and it comes down and it's in us, and then it comes out in our life, in our actions. If we're not spending time with him, it's not going to come out. Sometimes we need to stop and we need to just get right with him. We're born again, we're going to heaven, that's done. But on a daily basis, on our daily life, that are we drawn from him? Are we walking in him? Are we the heart of the ministry, the heart of people, the heart of lives, the heart of our family? It's so sad sometimes to see somebody traveling overseas to minister and their marriage is a wreck. Or their grandparents is a wreck. Or their children are out doing drugs. It's like, make sure we're doing ministry at home. Make sure we're teaching our families devotions and how to pray, and we're praying for the missionaries at home, and we're supporting them within the kids. You know, we see over and over in the Bible that the parents did not teach the children about the things of God. And the generation grew up and they're like, yeah, that was my parents. The kids didn't experience God. You know, it's really neat to take your kids and to go and do these ministries and have them see the forgiving heart, the comforting heart. How you deal with burdens, how you deal with kindness, how you deal with forgiving, how you deal with all these issues. The kids need to see and experience it. Not just daddy's a Christian, not just daddy knows God, not just we go to church. It's an intimate relationship. The power, the source, the life, the joy that passes understanding is found in our life in Christ. It's not outward actions. They'll all fail and fall down and fall short. It's that life that's overflowing with Jesus. Point number 9. Ministry of confession and prayer. We covered quite a bit of it, but in James chapter 5, in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I first had the ministry of confession. I didn't know how many people would really like that. But, you know, it's so important for us to be able to share our struggles with one another. There's healing in that as they go before the Lord on our behalf, as we know just the areas in our lives where we struggle with. We can be set free. We can be healed from those. You know, and it's so against the old nature to do that. And I've seen such an incredible ministry in just going, you know, I struggle with this and I struggle with this and I struggle with this. And wow! Would you pray for me in those areas? And you know, being set free, being healed, being touched, it just goes against the flesh. We're not perfect. Not a person in here is perfect in their flesh. We've been perfected by Jesus who lives in and through us and did that work on behalf of us, but none of us are perfect. There's flaws, there's struggles. Our body is wearing out. We're encouraged here, a ministry of confession, to be willing to share, to be willing to take it to prayer, ministry of prayer. What a great ministry. And last, the ministry of love. Let's turn to 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. The source is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Here, dear friends, speaking to all of you, speaking to myself, let us love one another. It's amazing. I'm thinking of the contrast, hating, backbiting, you know, judging. You know, it's like, where's the love sometimes? Get this done, get that done. Where's the love? God loves us and He shows His love upon us. He understands who we are and where we are at. In every situation, He loves us. And God wants us, you know, the love of God. It's beyond our sins. Let's represent love. Let's not represent pointing out sin. The love of God covers a multitude of sins. Let's be known by all the laws fulfilled in one word, love. That desire to put that sacrificial love that is able to put others first, to give to others, to do for others, expecting nothing in return. People can tell, people know, that genuine love that God has bestowed upon us, that we might allow that overflowing of that love to impact others. I want to encourage you that maybe God has spoken to you, if He has, to step out in faith, to pray and ask God to work in that ministry God has ordained and declared in His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your grace, for Your love, for just the ministries that You've declared in Your Word that's available to all of us, that You desire us to walk in, to press in, to be encouraged in, to encourage others to live like Jesus. And Lord, I thank You that Your Word as it goes forth is alive, it's powerful, it's able to speak to the innermost part of our being. And Lord, would we not be ones that hear and then just walk off and forget? Lord, would we write it down? Would we share it with others? Would we put it into practice immediately, Lord? We need You. We love You. We thank You for Your encouragement, for Your exhortation. In Jesus' name, amen.